This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're going to take a little different approach to technology. We're going to get a couple of experienced executives in the studio here and kind of put them next to each other and talk about their backgrounds and talk about what they're doing now and see if they can have some sage observations about technology for the benefit of my audience. In the studio today, we have Aileen Black and Gigi Shum. They are both founding partners of a new company called Accelerated Government Strategy. Good morning, ladies. How are both of you?
Good morning, John.
Well, the weather's broken and it's getting a little bit warm here. I thought we'd change pace here. I normally get, you know, individuals with specific topics. We'll talk about, you know, encryption. We'll talk about managing mobile devices. I thought we'd pull back and just look at technology from 40,000 feet. Both of you have interesting backgrounds in the federal government. You can see things. And I thought that maybe we'd have a 20-35 minute conversation about, you know, what technologies out there is new that can impact my listeners. And before we begin, Aileen, tell us about your background and your fascinating radio career.
John, certainly I've been in the studio before. I've been very, very fortunate. I've been able to work with many innovative companies for the last 25 plus years. I was at Startup Days of Oracle when our very first sales club, we celebrated $250 million a year as a company. I was at the Startup Days of EMC. Today, I think their most badges are hitting nine digits, and mine was 4-digit. And then I was very fortunate to be tapped on the shoulder to start the public sector team for VMware. And over the course of the last 9 years, was able to build a great team that helped virtualization get to the roadmap, especially in public sector, and brought the revenues from $8 million to $500 million.
It's like so, you're on three championship teams. Bang! World Series. I'm very, very fortunate.
The key to it is finding innovative technologies, not that they're not just disruptive, but they're productive and they can make a difference. And I was very fortunate to work with some companies that can really make a difference in helping the government meet their mission objectives.
So to summarize your background, three very small companies that became large and provided innovation to help solve problems for federal IT professionals. One, two, three.
That's correct.
Well, Gigi, it can be hard to top that one.
It is, John. It is. And I'm not sure that I can. But we do, Aileen and I do share some similarities in our background. So I have also been fortunate to work for some fantastic companies that have worked very closely with the federal government. So I was at Sun Microsystems for many years, started at Sun when it was a relatively small company, under $1 billion. Then I was at Oracle, and then most recently spent almost 16 years at Symantec, joined Symantec when it was about $500 million, and now it is approaching $7 billion. And I was very fortunate to be able to lead their public sector organization and work really closely with the government on problems around security, backup, and storage.
Well, I think the conclusion is that both of you have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And a lot of ugly, unfortunately, a lot of ugly in the last 15, 20 years. And maybe you can have some insights on some companies that may have value. I think we should call this show What's Hot and What's Not. And we're probably not going to talk about the what's not very much because we don't want to get in trouble here. But we'll talk about what's hot and what's interesting and some of the new techniques. For example, in the commercial world, they may respond quicker and easier to new technology. And I think this is an opportunity for my Govy listeners to take advantage of that, isn't it?
It sure is. So one of the key reasons we started this company is because when you start looking at the innovative companies out there, they can seriously make a difference for the public sector market. But the public sector market isn't necessarily driven by profit. So many startup companies with innovative technologies focus on the ROI. That does not necessarily translate directly to the government. So, you know, but when these startup companies are looking at funding or how to build their business base or if they're going to IPO or if they're going to be acquired, which is very much a possibility these days just because of the technology gap that I'd like to talk about in a minute between large companies and small companies right now for the cloud. But they need to address this market. It's, you know, let's face it, the federal government represents 20 to 24% of the GDP. When you walk into any mall, except for in D.C., it's probably going to be a higher number, according to several studies, 1 in 8 adults work for the federal government. So, you know, this is a huge market, a huge opportunity, and these are missions that we can help that, you know, save lives, you know, get the bad guy, feed our children. So these are wonderful opportunities for these innovative companies to make a difference and make a profit.
Gigi, why don't you tell us your website for our listeners, please?
Sure. Our website is Accelerated Government Strategies, and the website is www.accelgovstrat.com. So accelgovstrat.com.
You know, both of you also share one thing in common. You've been in the studio with me before. And so this is going to be a pretty easy interview. I got to control myself because it's going to be so, I can get a little sloppy here if I'm too comfortable with my guests. But, you know, one of the guests was Vivek Kundra. He sat right in that chair, and it was in 2010, and he talked about some silly 25-point or 23-point, I can't remember what it was, 25-point initiative for moving to the cloud. What do you think about the cloud? Do you think that had impact? Do you think it's a good idea, bad idea? Where's, in general, where does the government stand now with this transition to the cloud, DG?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the government has made tremendous progress, but there's still a lot of work to be done. The cloud, and certainly Vivek was at the very, very early days of it and gave it a very good start within the federal government. The cloud is one of those key disruptive technologies, both in public sector and in private sector. You know, John, I don't know if you remember the book by Clay Christensen called Innovator's Dilemma. But in that book, he basically makes the point that a lot of the large, well-managed companies miss a disruptive technology because they're so focused on their existing technology and the market and the way they do things. And frankly, that's what I've seen with regard to cloud. It's been a very disruptive technology to a lot of large, well-established IT companies. So you've got this absolute desire by the federal government to take advantage of the cloud because they know that it can help them be more agile and save money. But at the same time, their trusted suppliers aren't necessarily meeting those needs. And that's where a lot of these innovative companies, I think, can come in and help fill the gap.
Speaking of innovative companies, maybe they will fill the gap for technology innovation. And I think, Aileen, you talked about some companies you've seen. Or talk about this gap a little bit more for us.
So, you know, one of the reasons, again, that we decided this is because we believe we can help these innovative companies build their business here. But, you know, cloud has put an acceleration on technology being tightly coupled and how to leverage that right from the enterprise all the way down to the mobile device, as you mentioned there. You know, if you look back, I read in the New York Times an article that talked about how long it took for just regular phones to be in household. It took from 1900 to 1950, and only 50% of the households had landlines in their houses. I mean, I don't know if you remember those, but from the invention of the cell phone, it took only 5 years for 70% of the population to have cell phones. So when you look at that even older technology, as my kids would put it, and you look at the advent of what the cloud can do, the adoption and the leverage of technology is happening very, very quickly. So, you know, this is a great opportunity for these companies. And at the same time, the older, more traditional companies have been making their monetization of their market has been based on a more traditional model where they're buying hardware, they're adding services, and the landscape has drastically changed in the federal market. There's as a service, you know, they're doing data center consolidation. So they need to find innovative ways, not only in technology, but how to actually deliver it to the government.
You know, in my world, it's called on-demand self-service. And, you know, I had lunch with a fellow from Amazon Web Services about a year ago, and we were just talking, and he said, big day for me. I said, why? He said, I'm actually meet a customer. And I said, no, wait a minute. You've never even face-to-face met a customer? Oh, no, because everything's not online. I mean, this is a self-service capability that it just seems to be such a difference from 10 years. No one would have thought of that 10 years ago, would they, Aileen?
No, not at all. It's my kids expect the information to be in front of them all the time and readily available. And when you connect to the cloud and when you start looking at data and data virtualization, I think that's the next frontier, because you have to really focus on how do you leverage the information in cloud, how do you manage the information in cloud, and how do you secure the information in cloud.
Gigi, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you more about this company you two have founded and the purpose of the company and how you can help out my listeners. My listeners are saying, well, geez, what can these two brains help me accomplish my task this year? You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Aileen Black and Gigi Shum. Both are founding partners of Accelerated Government Strategies. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Aileen Black and Gigi Shum. Both are founding partners of Accelerated Government Strategies. Both been guests on the studio before. And we're talking about the formation of this company. Well, Gigi, why in the world did you get together with someone like Aileen? I mean, couldn't you pick a better partner than that? I mean, why'd you two get together and what's the objective of the company?
Well, no, John, I don't think I could have picked a better partner,
actually. I don't think so either.
So, you know, we may not look like it, but between us, Aileen and I have over 50 years of experience with companies, small companies that grew to be very large companies that helped the federal government. Now, I know what you're thinking, so I'm just going to say child prodigies.
Right. They both started in grade school.
We did. Absolutely. But I think that what we saw with our experience is that there's a lot of great small companies that have a fantastic technology but don't have the knowledge or the wherewithal to break into the government market. And frankly, it's technology that could absolutely help government customers. So we help these little companies. We help them with their go-to-market strategy. We help put the right ecosystem of partners together. We help them identify and recruit talented people to build out their team and make sure that they have the right certifications and all their I's dotted and T's crossed that you need in order to be able to do business with the federal government.
It's good perspective, and I think it's interesting that all of a sudden, if you're working for Shell, you have to say, well, Shell has the best gas in the world. Well, now you're not working for Shell. You're like an information broker. Someone come up to you and say, well, you know, I want to do this, this, and this. What do you recommend? And you don't have to represent any technology. You can say, well, in this particular situation, I think the solution is ABC. And although in my previous job, I would not have recommended that because we didn't have that solution and I couldn't even mention it. But now, because I've seen both, I think this is a good fit. And someone like Aileen can look at new technology and go, well, I've been to Manhattan, been here and there, and I heard about this company, and they may have some ideas that my listeners can take advantage of. I mean, if the goal is to make a transition to the cloud to reduce energy consumption, increase availability, improve security, reliability, have measured service, well, what tools can we have to do that? And you found a company that may help my listeners. Is that right, Aileen?
That's right. I think it's a company that is the next natural step to some of the key initiatives that the government is being challenged with right now: data center consolidation, cloud first, the Affordable Care Act, of pulling all that technology together. And for the last 10 years, I led the charge with virtualizing compute. And certainly virtualizing compute and consolidating data centers and drastically collapsing those data centers was a great first step. But the bigger problem, the bigger challenge, you know, let's face it, 70% of every IT dollar is spent on legacy applications. And the majority of that, like 60 to 70% of that, is spent on storage and managing data. So until you virtualize the data and manage the data in a more effective way, you really can't collapse those data centers. You don't have the agility or the transportability of that data across the cloud. So the next natural step is data virtualization. And a company that we ran across and we work with is by the name of Actifio. And Actifio is a data virtualization company.
I'm going to jump in here. A-C-T-I-F as in Frank, I-O. It's not radio friendly, but Actifio, is that right? Okay.
Actifio, yes. Actifio decouples the data from the infrastructure, and it enables dramatic improvements in like business resiliency, the agility, the access to the cloud. It replaces the siloed data management applications like backup and disaster recovery and test dev. It radically simplifies and virtualizes the data, uncoupling it from the physical infrastructure, which really gives you that agility and ability and keep one golden copy versus so many copies that cause so much expense and then difficult to get to because they're siloed by the application.
Yeah, duplicate applications, duplicate data. I was at the website for Actifio here this morning, and I saw a great quote, and this is really, you know, I love pictures and quotes, Sandra, and they're kind of memorable. And the quote was, "We don't talk about backup, we talk about data management." Well, isn't that an interesting approach? It's you know, managing the data you have and making it more efficient. And if you're going to virtualize a system or virtualize data, why do it two or three times? Why not have a golden copy? Is that what they call it? A golden copy of one, and then you can base everything on that.
Right, and you can rehydrate it, move it. It's very simple the way that it acts. Let's face it, John, data is the currency of the modern enterprise. Its value and its volume are now growing at a staggering pace. You know, for consumers of storage, it's almost like it brings you back to 2000 when you had the explosion of servers. With all the data, with all the mobility and access of being able to access the information, by the way, it's also generating information. And, you know, IDC predicts that this next year that there's going to be a $46 billion spend just in keeping copies of the data. It's like storing 48 exabytes worth of copy data in 2014. So, you know, as applications are modernized to take advantage of this latest time, we have to change our delivery models of the way that we access data. And data virtualization is clearly the next step and should be considered because it will drastically reduce the total cost of ownership while transforming the way that you manage your data and access your data.
Gigi, I want to bump back to you and talk about people. Believe it or not, they allowed me in the Rayburn building a couple weeks back, and I met the president of PMI and a couple of Congresspeople. And one guy named Tim Young there from Indiana, you know, Bloomington, Indiana, Midwest, and he really has his head screwed on tight. He says, you know what we have to do for the federal government is we've got to come up with a way to keep people, maybe give them a career path. And I said, well, you know, it's not a bad idea. I mean, most companies have career paths, and maybe the federal government should consider that. And he said, you know, one strategy that, you know, implementing cloud is just getting people to understand this and keeping them, retaining them. And I think that maybe a solution that you can provide is maybe having input for my listeners on what kind of career paths are involved in the cloud and cloud deployments and security and virtualization.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, first of all, I think that's a fantastic goal to try to give government employees a career path. And I've had the opportunity to lead some very large teams. And one of the things that I always found was that what people want out of a career path, yes, they want upward mobility. Yes, they want competitive salary and benefits. But they also want to be able to do work that makes a difference. And they want to be able to feel like they're building their own personal brand and their own reputation and skill set. And so to be able to offer government employees a chance to work with the latest technologies like cloud, like Aileen was just talking about data virtualization, right? That the whole virtualization conversation has changed from compute virtualization to now data virtualization. So the opportunity to really give government employees the chance to learn these skills and add them to their resume and feel like they're moving forward, I think will really help to keep them engaged and keep them in the federal government.
I see all kinds of parallels here. We talked about parallels earlier with VMware. What I see networks going from the old classic network to a software-defined network. And I see virtualization changing from server virtualization to data virtualization. All kinds of virtual parallels, aren't they? Similar type approach here with Actifio?
Yeah, it's the next, again, and the next natural step. When you're virtualizing the data center, so you want, you know, the focus is, and you've heard this from several large companies, the software-defined data center. So you're going to virtualize the compute, the network, the storage, and then you have that collapsing of the CapEx from that perspective. But until you really focus on virtualizing the data, which is, you know, growing so quickly and is the lifeblood of an organization, that's the next frontier, and that's why we're focusing on that. And also, it changes the dynamic, going back to what Gigi was talking about from a government worker perspective or any worker perspective. The ability to be able to access the information any place, any time, and really leverage it is key to productivity. And where that productivity is located now can be anywhere. It can be on your smartphone, or it can be at your desk at the office. It shouldn't matter anymore. And people should have that balanced lifestyle at the same time being challenged to be able to grow their career, grow their capability, and really have that satisfying work experience.
As far as software-defined networks go, have you run at any companies that may have some unique advantages in that area? I've talked with some companies in the past that do that stuff.
So we have seen some very interesting technologies where, you know, they're virtualizing the networks. Most recently, this was a startup technology company where you have capability to be able to even maybe change the internet from a perspective of today when you do the internet, you run through hubs. There's some technology out there that will actually, now this isn't ready and available in the regular market yet, but where you can have that kind of capability even loaded in on smart light bulbs. So all light bulbs can be connected. It is amazing what is innovative and available out there. And again, the great job that we have is being able to be that marriage broker of being able to introduce this technology to the government so that it can be leveraged, again, helping them meet mission objectives.
Matchmaker, make me a
match.
That's
what we're doing.
Yeah, that's good. Let's take a little break. We can come back. We'll talk more about social media and learning more about this new technology and talk about your company and some of the services you could offer for listeners or for anyone, really. This is Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum. Both are founding partners of Accelerated Government Strategies. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Aileen Black and Gigi Shum. They're both founding partners of a company called Accelerated Government Strategies, AGS Group. And we're talking about a wide range of topics here. We talked about your backgrounds. We talked about one company that could help. And many of my listeners, you know, listen online. I have people who listen in the Midwest in a podcast going back and forth to work. And there's people who read blogs. I have a blog called Tech Tuesday Blog. I'll be blogging about this interview. Gigi, are there blogs that you read, or is there maybe blogs that my listeners can read that keep them up with what's going on in this world?
Sure, absolutely, John. I think, first of all, I'll, if I may, plug our blog on our website. It's excelgovstrat.com. And Aileen and I both blog on that website. We take turns. And so I would invite readers to, or listeners to look for that and become readers as well. A couple that I'll mention that I like, a buddy of mine, Bob Gourley, has a blog, CTO Vision, and he really, I think, keeps up very closely on the trends that government is facing, and I think that's a good one. Another one that's not so much a blog, but I think it's a really helpful website, and we were talking earlier about cloud and cloud adoption, and as you know, one of the things that's important to cloud consumers as well as cloud providers is FedRAMP and FedRAMP certification. And there's a great website that's called FedRAMP OnRamp that that people can go to if they are considering moving an application to the cloud. And it will let them know who has their FedRAMP certification, their authority to operate, and who is where in the process.
Well, that's good.
So those are two I would call out.
Aileen, anything you'd recommend for my listeners?
Well, I certainly would recommend the ones that Gigi mentioned. There's also on Activio's website, the CEO Ash has a blog, and it has all kinds of pearls of wisdom as to why data virtualization is such an important fact. And I would really encourage our listeners to take a look at that, and that's at Activio.com.
Yeah, the one I read on cloud is David Linthicum. He writes for InfoWorld. He's written 13 books, and he has podcasts and he has blogs. He always has very interesting observations. This week he made some harsh observations about Salesforce. And I thought it stirred up the pot with a lot of people. I saw in the Twitter world that a lot of people are coming on Dave's comments about Salesforce. I noticed that you wore one of these little Fitbit things. My wife wears one of these things. And I call this the Internet of Things. There's people walking around with watches now that are kind of nerdish watches, but they have them. But there's technologies that impact our listeners that even go from the watch to the light bulb.
Absolutely. So it's, you know, John, I do. I have one of these. I got it for Christmas. My family, we all got them. It tracks our steps and our sleep. And you know, you can post progress on Facebook. And as I started to think about this, right, it's really the convergence of a lot of the big trends that are going on, right? So this, the tracking bracelets represent the Internet of Things. The fact that we can share the information and then post to social media is that social mobile kind of trend that's going on. But every morning, John, I wake up and I can see, how I slept the night before, how much sound sleep, how much light sleep, how many times I woke up. I can see how many steps I took. That's data. That's a lot of data when you think about everybody who's got one of these Fitbits or Nike Fuels or mine's a Jawbone up. And that data is being stored where? It's being stored in the cloud. So it's big data. It's being stored in the cloud. And then it's data about my lifestyle and about my health. So it's not too big a stretch to think that just like my car insurance company offers me reduced premiums for being a good driver, how soon before the health insurance companies are going to be offering discounts for people who are living an active lifestyle or a healthy lifestyle? And so that's, you know, when Aileen and I are out there looking for these innovative companies that have unique technologies, we really look across kind of all of those areas of innovation. And it's funny that something like a little Fitbit can represent pretty much all of them.
Yeah. You know, Aileen, you're available for public speaking. You're available for radio and television interviews. We know that. Someone may ask you about the price drop April 1st on Amazon. I mean, Amazon jolted people by dropping prices and everyone kind of fell in step. And this is just an indication of how agile and flexible this whole world is. Gigi talks about putting healthcare information in the cloud and the cloud is stored on AWS and prices drop and pivot and April 1st and everyone thought it was a joke. It's not a joke. I mean, this is a very dynamic world, isn't it?
It sure is, John. You know, we talked about, you know, what was driving the federal market, and certainly there's key main mandates and policies out there, such as the data center consolidation, cloud first, you know, the healthcare act, Affordable Healthcare Act. But it's things like that that truly will continue to force the hand of taking advantage of this innovation. When those kind of price drops, then it's hard to justify having your own data center. So today, the price is dropping when it comes to leveraging compute power, right? But again, until it's really focused on how to leverage the data, then that will be the next big paradigm shift that you see of adoption of cloud computing. Between Gigi and I, we have 8 kids. We each have 4. And being, you know, my kids go from 13 to 22, and they are constantly looking for streaming data of information. I don't care if they're walking down the street, they have one of their devices, they know how to get that information and they know what to do with it. So I think the data is going to be exploding, continue to grow. We have to get that under hand. And also the ability to be able to really leverage it across all the different ways that you access and consume data and be able to leverage it to have results.
What fascinates me is 3 to 5 searches on Google are with handheld devices. 40% of all YouTube videos are watched on a handheld device.
Sure.
And so, I mean, these facts are just coming out there. And I think what the federal government has to do is they have to look outside themselves and say, well we know it's all going mobile. It's happening in the like the old personal computer world. But there are new technologies out there that can be applied to this. Aren't there technology involved with light bulbs or something? Gigi, you're talking about something? I mean,
yeah.
This is even hard to believe. I can believe YouTube. I can believe, you know, Fitbit, but light bulbs?
It's crazy, John, but it's true. So Aileen and I have been working with a company that's got technology that is able to put excess compute power and excess storage embedded in LED light bulbs. And so in your home, in your office, in a hotel room or a business setting, you can have these light bulbs. They are energy efficient because they're LEDs and they're little computers that can be accessed. And so there's technology that uses these light bulbs and the compute power on them to as a massively parallel processor to provide additional compute and storage for the cloud, for cloud-based companies. And they've already got customers like some of the big cloud providers, the names that you would know, that are using this technology for excess compute power. It's fascinating.
Amazing. I'm thinking about data centers and virtualization, and I've been in tons of data centers, and I've talked to a lot of technicians who run them, and a term that pops up all the time is service level agreement, SLA. And what about your phone service, SLA, this, all that. But it can be applied to data as well, can't it? I mean, this is what's interesting about this whole concept of the cloud and data. I never thought of service level agreements involving data.
Well, certainly there should be. The reason why probably you haven't heard it is because usually service level is done at the storage level versus down to the use and the information that's stored. And Activio actually allows you to do that so that you can effectively manage the data across the board.
So service level agreement for a data center would be 5 nines or whatever the magic number is, but that can be applied to having access to your data as well, can it?
That sure can. And it gets back down to the heart of, you know, traditionally we've measured the wrong things. Maybe not the wrong things, but, you know, measuring the amount of data center reduction is an important metric. But what would be a better metric is measuring the efficiency of the way that we store it. I think in the Forbes had a report a couple of weeks ago that said that though the federal government reduced 500 data centers, actually 3,300 popped up. And that seems, by gut reaction, ugh, that's a bad thing. But really, what we really need to look at is the effectiveness of those data centers, the effectiveness of being able to be leveraged. Because when you think about it, the cloud is all about these elastic pools of data. It's not about a physical location. If you move all your data, your applications, your storage, your compute into a data center, and don't find a more effective way of serving it up, all you've done is move it from one place to another. You haven't necessarily become more effective.
Kind of the way I clean the basement, move the dirt from one corner to the other, and then say, tell my wife, yeah, it's all clean now. But that might have happened with some of these data centers.
That's right.
Let's take a break and come back, talk more about Twitter, and talk about more your personal habits with technology. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum, both are founding partners of Accelerated Government Strategies. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Aileen Black and Gigi Shum. Both are founding partners of Accelerated Government Strategies. Both are experienced executives in a wide range of large companies, and now they kind of put their talents together, kind of a two and two is five deal, where they have a company that looks at new technology and tries to figure out how it can impact my listeners, federal IT professionals. We've talked about a lot of different types of technology. One technology that's popular is Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RayGilray. You can follow me there. Does your company have a Twitter handle, Gigi, or what do you guys do with Twitter?
We each have our own Twitter handles, and so I am @GShum. Mm-hmm.
And I'm @Aileen_Black.
Good. That's great. A lot of people to follow on Twitter, a lot of interesting news. I get news on there every single day. This is the part of the show where people are listening going, well, that Aileen's a nerd, and Gigi's a nerd, but who's the bigger nerd? And so I have a scientific test I've devised that has 10 questions, and this is all certified and accredited, so it's a fine test. And I'm going to start off with Gigi and ask you 10 questions, and then we're going to ask Aileen and find out who, in fact, is the card-carrying nerd in this room.
Okay.
So, Gigi, let's start off. How many desktops do you have at home? You know, the old-fashioned kind?
Zero desktops.
Ooh, that's the right answer. And how many cell phones have you bought in the last year?
One.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, @GShum.
Good. Do you have a personal blog?
I have a blog on excelgovstrat.com.
Ooh, she's pushing it. She's pushing it here.
I am. If I need to write it, they need to read it.
Do you have online personal backup services? Use any of those?
I do. I use Dropbox for personal backup, and I also use Norton 360.
What kind of a smartphone do you have?
I have an Apple iPhone.
Okay. And how many apps have you used on that phone in the last 30 days?
You know, I probably have, John, over 100 apps on the phone. But I would say that on an ongoing basis, there's a core of about 20 apps that I use all the time.
Good. And how many tablet devices do we have in your home if we break in there this afternoon?
Oh, I'm not even going to give you my address because there's so many that it would be a gold mine. I have, as Aileen mentioned, I've got four children. They don't live at home because mine are older than hers. But if I kind of add them all up from my family, everybody has at least a laptop, a smartphone, and a tablet. So, and there are several members of my family who have more than one. So I would say probably in the total of about six tablets in my family.
How many social networking sites are you active in?
I mostly use LinkedIn and Facebook.
Okay. And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Definitely electronic.
That's a reasonable score there. We'll have to run it through my UNIVAC, but find out. Or my DG, that's what I'm going to run it through. Okay. Or my Wang personal computer.
That's right.
Aileen, you're up to bat here. I break into your house this evening. How many desktops do I find there?
Well, I'm going to start on the losing end of this. So we actually have three desktops. One, my husband is an architect, so you know, he has a CAD CAM. But my son likes to build. All four of my children are at home, so he likes to build devices.
A gaming desktop, yeah.
So he actually has built some, I would almost call them mini, you know, mini computers. That's an old term there. Mini computers, but he has built a couple of devices.
You get a pass. Okay. How many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
Well, I have teenagers, so unfortunately, somehow they always get interrupted in their ability to be able to be used because they get dropped in water or something like
that.
So
before,
actually,
yeah,
we have bought five this year.
Wow. Okay. Do you have a personal Twitter feed? Yeah.
I do. Okay. I use Twitter quite a bit and leveraging, and I think that's an incredible opportunity to be able to communicate.
Great. Do you have a personal blog?
We share the blog on our website, okay, so we take turns writing on that blog.
And would you use any personal online backup services?
So I learned the hard way that is an extremely important thing that you have to do, especially when you take a million pictures on your iPhone. And so we do have it automated to back up once a month. And then every couple of months, actually, we back it up to a major drive.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Okay. And how many apps have you used in the last month?
So I live by my apps, whether it be choosing where I eat by using Yelp or driving here this morning. So I don't know if I have over 100 apps on my phone, but I certainly have about 30. And I use them constantly.
Constantly. And how many tablet devices we have in your house if I break in there this afternoon?
Well, tablet and laptops, as you can imagine, with four kids from 13 to 22, and they're all technically, I think it's a part of their hand now.
Yeah.
We have at least six or seven in the house.
Years ago, we didn't even ask that question. Now it's how many? It's interesting. How many social networking sites are you active in?
So, like Gigi, I have a personal Facebook page that is underneath a pseudonym, and then certainly LinkedIn. I must use LinkedIn every day. And to be quite frank, I use Pinterest quite a bit. I really like Pinterest and use it for a variety of different things.
Last book you read, was it paper or was it electronic?
Well, see, I'm kind of an old school girl here. This is where I'm going to fall
Gigi,
off the nerd.
This is where, Gigi, you're going to be the nerd. You're going to be the nerd.
So there's two different categories of reading.
Oh, here's the excuse. Okay, young lady, what's your excuse?
Reading, I do. I have a 13-year-old, so, you know, sometimes the love of reading has to be encouraged. And so we have a contest. We just finished the Hunger Games, and we're starting another series of that type of society. But from a personal perspective, I just finished reading Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In, and I love that book.
Well, I think we know who's going to win this. And I'm going to take this home, run this through my UNIVAC computer, play it out in Green Bar. And then maybe store in my data general storage.
I'm so excited. What's the prize, John? What do I win?
Well, you could win up to $1 million. That's what I love those contests.
Of John
up
dollars?
Yes, real imaginary dollars, but up to $1 million imaginary dollars sometime in the future. You know, it's always interesting to see what person's technical choices are. I always listen to people and I go, what kind of phone does she have? And why did she get that? A lot of security people have different types of phones. And why does this person have a BlackBerry? I just don't know. This studio does a lot of sports, and they used to have a crystal ball here. It was an 8-ball, and I think they threw it at someone and they broke it or something. But I used to hand that to people and ask them about the future. And I think the future with the federal government could involve social media. So tell me, Aileen, what about social media and govies, and what do you see happening in there for them?
Well, you know, it offers a whole new opportunity to be able to leverage data that's out there. And I mentioned to you during one of the break that I've been spending some time with a couple of companies up in the Manhattan area. And there is a couple of companies there that actually do data mining for Twitter. And, you know, when you start looking at what you can do with this information and what it means, it's out there in the public domain. So they're not, you know, it's not something that is, you know, necessarily accessing something that you have personally stored. But what it can do is show patterns and information. So from a federal government perspective or first responders, it can really provide the data before something actually happens. It's real time. So, you know, being able to mine Twitter basically has provided our first responders ability to know before a horrific event occurred and stopped, you know, possibly another episode in a school where, you know, there would have been deaths. So, you know, the opportunity to really leverage social media, both from a protection perspective and also dissemination of information. So if there's a disaster, is just tremendous. And I think that is where you're going to see the biggest leverage is the government, how to leverage social media and then how to use it to help with their mission.
Gigi, what about govies and the cloud? Head in the clouds, feet in the ground, or what's going to happen in the next 5 years with cloud adoption?
My prediction is the federal government is absolutely going to be on board. You mentioned Amazon lowering their prices and others following suit. It is, in my opinion, the most disruptive technology. It is helping government customers be agile and save money at the same time. And those two things, the government has a hard time moving fast. And so a technology that can help them be more agile and also at the same time save money is going to be the most life-changing technology, I think, that the government has seen in quite a while.
Eileen, we talked about one of the characteristics of cloud is rapid elasticity. But I think the elasticity is in pricing as well. Look at this April 1st price change. Elasticity is in what companies you use. Elasticity applies to purchasing as well. I mean, it's just changing so quickly. The old adage, that's the way you've always done it. You should take and throw that out the window, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, adoption of the cloud on the commercial side has been a little bit easier. And it's unfair to be critical to government because, you know, they're very profit oriented and it's easy for them to be able to make those moves. But to adopt as a service models for the federal government, and there's been a lot of talk on this and a lot of focus on this. So I know the government's doing a lot of good work in this area, but we have to change our procurement law and how they can have access to be able to consume this. And remember, budgets are done 3 years out. So it's even changes the type of money in some agencies that can be spent, CapEx dollars versus OPEX versus CAPEX. So, you know, these things have to be addressed because there's a lot of really good people in the government who know what needs to be done, but the obstacles in their way make it very, very difficult for them to achieve the results that they know they can do.
You know, Gigi, how could someone have predicted a price drop like that? I think as far as acquisition goes, a federal strategy might develop an elastic or an agile purchasing agreement that will respond to changes and drops in prices. They have to, don't they?
They do. They do. Drops or increases in prices and drops or increases in their needs. And, I think that one of the we talk about agility with the cloud. We talk about elasticity with the cloud. One of the other benefits, and I think it will be a benefit to the government, is that it doesn't lock them into a particular architecture or a particular vendor. And so I think that's what I would encourage your listeners, John, is to look for those technologies that will help not only make them more agile today, but will give them that independence as they look to the future, because it is hard to predict what's going to be out there that they can take advantage of.
We have to end the interview here. We're running out of time. I'd like to thank both my guests today here, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum. Both are founding partners of Accelerated Government Strategies. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.